We're looking at the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One thing that we're going to see as we look at this first chapter, I know in my mind as I read the book of Matthew or I hear the Christmas story, I'm looking for a story. I'm looking for details, what Joseph saying, how Mary felt, and how did the people respond. There's a storyline going through the book of Matthew. But I think as we look at chapter 1 today, and we'll step back and look at it from a different angle, instead of trying to find a story, I mean, if it's a story, once upon a time in Bethlehem, it's not a very good start when he gives you 42 generations of people's names. It's all of a sudden like, well, wait, this isn't a story. What is this? Well, I think if I say it this way, it is an apologetic work. It is written to, we believe, believers that came out of the Jewish faith, and now they're being given apologetic material to prove that their faith is legitimate, to prove that Jesus Christ was the Christ, was the Messiah. In fact, look at this first line in chapter 1 of Genesis. The reason I say Genesis is, right there, the word genealogy, it means beginning, or it means the history. And there's four words that I want to point out right here, right at the very beginning. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Record, genealogy, Jesus, and Christ. All of those are important. One, this is a record. This is a book. This is the recording of information. Number two, genealogy. This is the history. It's the beginning. It's the putting together of what is here. So it's the history, the recording of the history. Jesus is the name of the man. And when we read this in the English, you know, in a church today, there's not much here to really think about, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's like, okay. But to the people of that first generation, to the Jewish mind, Jesus Christ, the word Christ is Christos, it means the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is a statement, not letting you guess through this book. It's not a book that's written like, well, here's some information, do what you want with it, see if you can come to your own conclusion. The book of Mark may be written that way. The book of Mark kind of maybe even leaves you hanging at the end. It's kind of like, okay, this is what it's like to have been a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here's the details of what happened. Now, what is your response going to be? It almost makes you make a decision. Here's the information, now decide. The book of Matthew doesn't do that. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Messiah. From the very beginning, the first line, this is the history. This is the record of the history of the man Jesus. This is the record of the history of the man Jesus, who is the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. And then we go into the book right here, and in chapter 1, there are four basic things I think we'll see here as we go through this. Again, think apologetic. Apologetic in the sense that you're trying to defend your position. You're trying to prove your point. You're trying to get some ammunition, some defense to say to your own heart and to those around you, this is the Messiah. So it's not just a story. A baby was born in a manger. In fact, many of the things that we know in the Christmas story don't come up in the book of Matthew. They come up in Luke. This right here is going to give you these things. Number one. Chapter 1, say 1 through 17, that gives you the genealogy. That gives you the lineage, the royal line. So by the time you get to verse 17, there's no doubt in your mind, well, at least this man, Jesus, is in the line of David. He certainly could be the Messiah because he comes through the tribe of Judah. He comes through the line of David. He has the right lineage to be the Messiah. But is that enough to prove your point? Well, the next thing we see, in verse 17, it says, thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Now again, if you're looking for a story here, you're thinking, as you may have, man, the Jews sure told strange stories. First we get 16 verses of genealogy, and then it goes back and it counts the generations for you and says, hey, there was 14 from Adam to David, then there was 14 from David to the exile, and then there was 14 from the exile until Jesus. And it's kind of like, what? Who cares about that? I mean, are you trying to kill the story? I mean, if this was a movie, you think sometimes my sermons get boring. It's like, we're in chapter verse 17. We haven't even said anything interesting yet. Except why in verse 17 does it say 14, 14, 14? Because 14 is a number of completion, especially look at 7. It's 7 plus 7 for the first 14, 7 plus 7 again, and 7 plus 7. So you've got 6 sevens, you've got 3 periods of 14, and at each of the points of the 14, from Abraham to David, that was the time of becoming the nation. And within 14 generations, in that 14 to 7s, they got their king that united the nation, or the empire that united the nation. And so there's your first complete set. Then from David to the exile, from the first king David, of the line of Judah, until the exile, the last king, and they're sent off into captivity, that was also 14 generations. So to build up to the completion of the nation when they became unified was 14. Then you had 14 generations of a king on the throne ruling the nation. Then they went into exile. When they came back, they didn't have a king. The line continued, but they did have a king. And so from the time of the return from the exile, through this period of rebuilding the nation after it was destroyed by the Babylonians, there's been 14 again. In other words, he's saying, don't you think it's time for something to happen? From Abraham to David, after 14 generations, here comes David to establish the United Kingdom. Then, the United Kingdom of Israel and Judah, not the United Kingdom of England. Okay, so then from David until the exile, when he got sent away, was another 14. And now, there's been 14 years, or 14 generations from the exile, and what's going to happen now? Indeed, it's time. In other words, it is time for something to happen. Matthew's drawing on your attention here, of every 14, or at the completion of 2 sevens, God does something. First the establishment of David, then the exile. Well, what's going to happen this time? The Messiah. In other words, there's a pattern. So one, you've got the genealogy saying, he is the Messiah. He's in the line of the royal line of David. Then the next verse 17 says, and it's time. It is time for a Messiah to be born. And then we go on here, the next thing, it talks about the birth of Jesus. And you get a little bit of a storyline going there, but there's two things particularly interested in this storyline. Is one, you're going to have dreams and you're going to have angelic activity. Very unique right here. In other words, man now is saying, and so this child was born. It's like, yeah, well, what kind of proof do you have that it's a special child? There's a lot of children were being born. There's probably other children in the line of David being born. Yes, but did those children have angelic intervention and dreams given to their earthly father? Well, no, how do we know? Exactly. God now is intervening in this person's life saying, this is him, and he's making sure it happens. So you've got the genealogy, you've got the timing, it's time for the Messiah, and then you have, well, yeah, this child's born at the right time with the right lineage, but does God even know he's here? It's indeed. Look, the dreams, look at the angelic intervention, and we'll read about that, and say, okay, well, that's pretty convincing, but then he's got one more proof, and Matthew does this throughout the book of his writing here. Look at verse 22. You've already had the genealogy. You've already had the fulfillment of time. You've now had the angelic intervention and the dreams to say God is involved in this child's life. And then he goes back to something that we would consider very important. But is there scripture for all this? Indeed, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. Indeed, he says, the prophet said it was going to happen. So now you've got the right lineage. You've got the fulfillment of time. This is the right time. You've got angelic intervention and dreams saying, this child God is taking care of. And then, probably the most important thing, at least in my mind, would be, does the scripture support this? Indeed it does. Here's your scripture version. So in other words, what we have right here is not a story. It's not like, what did Mary say, what did Joseph do, and wow, everybody. It's like, this is apologetic proof. The lineage, the right time, you've got the intervention, and you've got scripture. This is the Messiah. He just used chapter 1 to prove his opening statement, a record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah.